Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
If you have your Bibles, let's quickly see from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. God from the beginning chose you for salvation. So Paul says to Thessalonica that we are bound to give thanks for you, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Now, what we have to understand about Thanksgiving, we're talking about Thanksgiving today, and we'll continue next week, but we'll be more deliberate about Thanksgiving next week. We would still do so today. But God says through Paul that the foundation of Thanksgiving is your salvation. God says that the reason why we thank God most importantly is not because of the material blessings that He gives to us. Material blessings are good, but most importantly is the fact that we are saved. That's the first thing we give God thanks for. The fact that we're washed in the blood, the fact that we have been sanctified by belief in the truth. So he says, from the beginning you were chosen. If you see the way Paul describes those who are chosen, he says, not so many of you wise were called, not so many of you noble were called, but you were called by the mercies of God. So he speaks intentionally to the fact that you were chosen by God. I don't want to delve into that, because if I do, it will raise questions in many of you, of which the debate has been on for many years, for actually thousands of years, hundreds of years. Were you chosen to be saved? Or were you saved because you chose to be saved? Two sides. But it's not important. We thank God that we are saved, whichever one. Those who say we were chosen to be saved would ask the question, so what of those who are not chosen to be saved? Why aren't they chosen to be saved? So there are scriptures in the Bible that support the fact that God chooses people. In fact, He calls you out. No man can come to the Father except the Spirit draws him. So firstly, there's a drawing. So is it just a few people God has drawn? What of the others? Why didn't He draw them? But all Paul can say is, thanksgiving is set up in your heart that if we're to answer the question of if we were chosen to be saved or not, we thank God we are saved. So it stirs up thanksgiving that you are amongst the elect. Because there are a lot of people who are not privileged to hear the message of the gospel. There are some people who are not in the environment to even hear what you're hearing. There are some people who don't have the opportunity to be saved. And that's why there's a call that we go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody. Because of people, there is a people who are called the harvest. God is never short of the harvest. The harvest is always plenty, but the laborers are few. So God wants you and I to rise and preach that gospel of saving faith to people who are not saved. You know, I asked myself a very sincere, honest question one day. Do I really believe that people who are not born again will go to hell? Do I really believe it? So when I hear someone just died, the first thing that comes to mind is not how old was he, or how old was she? The first thing that comes to mind is, was he born again? Because if that person is not born again, that is eternal damnation. There is nothing like being saved in the afterlife. I was talking to my cousin and pastor yesterday. I said, there is a reason why people don't think about heaven, because of the implication of thinking about heaven. And the implication of thinking about heaven is the fact that we have to think about dying first. So everybody keeps that part of thinking about heaven. But have you sat down one day to think about how heaven will be like? It's a place without any atom of struggle. It's a place where everybody's royal. Nobody is subservient. Nobody is low. Nobody is under. It's a place where even the least believer is greater than the greatest king here on earth right now. Everybody is blessed. Everybody is exuding the fullness of revelation of who Christ is. Have we really sat down to think that that will be our perpetual state for life, for millions of years? Some of us have done 30 years plus, 40 years plus. We're already tired. But you see, you will come into billions of years and you just still be in awe of the glory of God. Have you thought about heaven? The streets are of gold. There is no lack. There is no pain. There is no hunger. There is no nothing of such in heaven. Heaven is going to be beautiful. We would see the likes of David, Samson. I almost said Goliath. We see the likes of David, Elijah, Archbishop Benson Idahosa, Smith Wigglesworth, Charles Spurgeon. For those who have lost parents who were born again, you see them again. Siblings who are born again that have passed, you see them again. Have you thought about heaven? That heaven is a reality. It's not concept.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Heaven feels like the way as real is right now. That's how heaven is. And I told you on Friday that judgment for the believer is in the past, not in the future. The only judgment for the believer is the Bema seat of Christ. So when Paul now writes and he says, set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are here. It gives you some sense of circumspectness. You become more circumspect, more focused on the things that are most important, right? It becomes easier to lean towards or be inclined to the things of God, because you are thinking about where you will be more. Come on, amen. So, if I believe that if people don't hear the message and I really love them, and if they die, they won't be saved, they will go to hell. I would preach to them because I love them so much, I don't want them to perish. But we thank God that you and I are saved. Okay, so we have something to give God praise and glory for. He says, because from the beginning you were chosen for salvation. Say with me, say, I was chosen for salvation. That's right. So, there's a story of 10 lepers who Jesus healed. And if you see that in Luke chapter 17, verse 12, 10 lepers, let's look at the story, Luke chapter 17 and verse 12. We'll start the reading from verse 12. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. You see the position these guys were in? They stood afar because they're not confident towards life. You know, there are some people who just don't know how to be around people who are blessed because you feel intimidated already. You have a tendency to stand afar off. But you know, God is changing your story today. So they stood afar off and they lifted up their voices. I'm happy that their voices were not silent, even though they were afar off. You can still talk. You know, even if life has beaten someone down, the thing is that you can still praise. Your hallelujah must not be taken away from you. So they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Next verse. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Look at this verse. The Bible says that Jesus said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Some people want a sign before they thank God. Can you thank God without a sign? You know, these guys did not have the miracle done. It was just in the motion of obedience that as they were moving, they got healed. Some people will say, "God, do it for me now. If you don't do it for me now, then I don't believe you." You know, some people are very unbelieving in their hearts. They just don't believe anybody. You know, I told you 2 Sundays ago that your ability to not trust makes you quite controlling in some sense, because you probably may have been assaulted by some traumatic incident and then you cannot trust again. But you see, I've taught before that trusting is not for the person you're trusting. Trusting is for you. That you are able to trust is a good place to be, because it makes you a faithful person. You become a positive person. You're positive. You're not negative. If someone betrays your trust, take your trust with you and give it to another person. Amen, somebody. But at least you still have the trust. So Pastor Phil is not preaching, "Someone steals your money." Pastor said, "Make we trust." You are still trusting the same person who steals your money. That's foolishness. That's grade one foolishness. I will love you, but I don't have to trust you. I will love you. I'll keep on preaching the gospel to you until you are transformed. Then when I see the changes are there, then I'll trust you again. But you see, that ability to trust again is what you need to have. Some people can't trust again. Some people can't forgive again. If Lulu of Lulu, you kind of knew I was going to call your name, right? I like your yellow. Is this mustard yellow? You look like an angel today. Praise God. You even have wings. Praise God. You look so well, so wonderful. You look very good. Now, if Lulu offends me, I should be able to forgive her. And you said amen. Are you planning to offend me? Why did you? Okay, so if she offends me, I should be able to forgive her and not even bring it up again. Because that's the kind of heart God has given us as believers. Say amen. Amen. But you see, some people can never forgive. They will try so hard, but they will not forgive. Because they are not trusting. You're trying to do it by yourself. And you have not seen how God has forgiven you in Christ. How several times you kept dropping the ball. You never were consistent. As you are looking at me now, you are still dropping the ball. But God keeps saying, "You know what, I'm patient with you." And you will choose not to be patient with his own child. I want you to look at other people as also forgiven in Christ. It probably will help you. So, the ability to just allow God work in your heart and be an expression of the gospel is a powerful place to be. Let's go back to the story. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, somebody said as they went. So in 2024, don't wait for signs before you do thanksgiving. Some of you will give God thanks in advance. Am I talking to people right now? All right. I'll show you another story of what Jesus did when he was giving thanks before manifestations happened. Now, so let's keep reading. Next verse, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, what did he do? He returned, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. So when he saw he was healed, he wasn't carried away by the miracle. Because a lot of people are carried away by the blessing and forget the blesser. Carried away by the gift and forget the giver. You see, the funny thing about God is God will not stop to be faithful to you. Because it's his obligation as a father to be faithful. Now, your response to him or not doesn't change his faithfulness to you. Because you are not the one who made him father. He calls himself his father. He's obligated to you. He's intentional about you. So regardless of your response, he's not going to change that. But this man was not carried away by the miracle. Some of us are too busy because of the miracle. When we didn't have it, we sought the face of the Lord. We were all night praying, God, do it for me. Oluwa, shefumi. Lord, do it for me. Did I get it right? Oh, my Yoruba people. Let me not annoy the South people here. God, do it for me. Lord, do it. Father, done it. Father, do. Father, eat. Father, eat, do. Do, eat, eat. Father. Now, God has done it. We defy you. We're looking for you. Eh? You're not on the radar anymore. You don't even think about God who did it. You don't acknowledge God. But see, let's be grateful people this year. Every blessing that he has blessed us with, let us be mindful to come back to say, God, you did this one. Thank you for this one. The writer of Ecclesiastes, that's Solomon, he says, I came under the sun to see that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. It means that if all of those things is what your life is all about, something about your life is incomplete. Because if your life is all about strength, skill, ability, swiftness, it's good to be swift, it's good to be strong, it's good to be wise, it's good to have skill. But if your life is centered about your hard work or your effort only, then it means something vital is missing in your life. But when you begin to add the grace dimension or the favor dimension, that's where you see many, many, many benefits that you haven't enjoyed because you were focusing only on your strength. So he says the race is not to the swift. The word happened there is the word kara. And I told you on Friday that it is right happenings. That in 2024, we're going to have right happenings. There'll be certain things that will happen to us and for us that will be at the right time, at the right place. And the Lord delivers us from unreasonable and wicked people. And you know, time and chance sometimes happens in persons. There are some people whose names are kairos to you. Time and chance. Thank you, Jesus. I see people standing in positions where you don't have to lift a single effort, but God, by his will and his predestination, is lifting you up by himself. If you studied the locust before, you will find out that the locust doesn't have wings. It has just something little to keep it probably up above the ground by its own effort. But what the locust does is the locust will travel for thousands of kilometers, but it leverages on the wind. So the locust is positioned in waiting for the wind. And when the wind begins to lift, The locust begins to go in the advantage of the wind. That's time and chance. That you are found in the right place at the right time. It's time and chance. I have seen people's lives that changed 360 degree in one day. Oh boy. Time and chance. Say with me, say, God has given me time and chance this year. You are here, and the Lord says, move. Before you know it, you realize you are not supposed to have been there in the last 1 minute. You just moved at the nick of time. Ha! The Lord delivers you in the spot of the moment. The Lord causes your feet to ride on dangerous heights, and you are not even crumbling, you are not falling. It's time and chance. Time and chance. So this man was not carried away by the miracle. He acknowledged, because we are in a generation, I told you on Wednesday, we are in a scornful generation. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Should we stay back on counsel? Should we sit on counsel? Counsel, who gives you advice? Who are the people that give you advice? Are they believers? Do they have the gospel mentality? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sin. Are you positioned where you shouldn't be positioned? I didn't say, are you on a mission? I say, are you positioned? Yes, it's different. If you're on a mission, the Lord is with you. If you're on a mission in the club, the Lord is with you. But if you are positioned in the club, the Lord is not with you. Ah, the house is silent, though. I'm hitting somewhere. Is it about the club matter? Okay, let's talk about it. Club. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Pastor is. Just leave it there. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. You are a believer. Believer on Wednesday and Sunday. But on Friday night. In fact, your name in the club is not your, is not. Can they call you brother in the club? Be honest with me now. Would they say Sister Caroline in the club? Eh? You have a different name. Ogodu, Odogu, Odogu. The emperor, the champion, the lion. Zabu, Zabu. What's the last part? So all of you know the song. How can you not know? How can you fall for it? If you know me, you know that's where I'm going. And you might, you sang. You're supposed to know your pastor by now. They don't know me. So see, you can't be positioned. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. You can't be positioned in the way of sinners and think your faith won't be affected. It doesn't. If you're on a mission, it's different. Jesus was on a mission. He was always with the prostitutes. He was always with the harlots. So if that's your excuse, please use mission and position as your difference. Then he now says, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. So we are in a scornful generation. We are in a shaming generation. It's so easy for people to just pick up their phone right now and talk on Instagram or Twitter, just looking for who to shame. That's the generation we're in. It's a shaming generation. It's not a thankful generation. It's not a generation that understands gratitude. No. And you know, I gave a prophecy last year that this year, it will just be automatic for people to easily shame believers and pastors. And sometimes maybe legitimately. But what I don't like is just the hateful spirit with it. I love correction, but I don't like the hateful spirit that goes with it. That's scornful. Blessed is the man that walks, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law he meditates day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. And what he goes on to say, for whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. These are the blessings, the attributes of a blessed man. So in this generation, people don't come back to say, thank you, Lord. People would attribute it to their hard work. But you don't realize God gave you the strength. People will attribute it to their money. People will attribute it to their connection. People will attribute it. But listen, you must always come back. Give your neighbor a high five and say, always come back to give God glory. Are you still here, somebody? Now, when he turned back, the other nine people, the other nine lepers didn't turn back with him. He was alone. So that means the journey of thanksgiving is a personal journey. Listen, only you know why you're thanking God, though. No matter how you explain it to people, nobody would understand why your thanksgiving makes sense. Say with me, say, I know my praise. And you must not be ashamed of your praise. Your praise, it's personal to you. Because everybody's faith is idiosyncratic. It's unique to you. It's personal to you. I know my praise. I'm intentional about my praise. And it also means that giving praise, thanksgiving is not a popular thing where people gather. It's not popular today. It's getting unpopular. But you see, we have to keep the culture going. The culture of thanksgiving. I want us to make it a culture this year in this church. That thanksgiving will be a culture. You see, I want us to celebrate it like an occasion. You come before the Lord and just dance before the Lord. Amen. Do you understand? No forming. Because if God didn't give you grace, would you have mind to form? Would you have the will to form? No forming. So I want us to, we'll come and dance before the Lord, because some of you are too conscious when you come to church. To lift your hands is problem. To pray is problem because of people. Forget people. You know that song? You are the reason I live. You're the one for me. You're the one for me. Why should I, when I have you, surrounded by your love, your everlasting love. Then see this part. Why should I care what people say? They don't know what you mean to me. They don't know. They don't know what you mean. Don't let anybody disturb you. Is it your business if I want to praise God in any way? Is it your problem if I choose to thank God in a particular way? It's not your business. Don't let anybody quiet your mouth on praise this year. Because you know what I sense? God is going to open the floodgates and the windows of heaven that will shock many of you and change your status forever. Because when you come to give God praise, it's not going to be anything of, it's not yourself. You're not glorifying man, you're glorifying him. Don't let anybody spoil your praise. Hallelujah, no go finish from my mouth. Every day in pain, in glory, in waiting, in anxiety, in fear, regardless, I will praise the Lord. Somebody say yes. Let's keep going. Then the Bible says he fell down when he got back to Jesus. Now, Jesus said, 10 of you go, wash yourself to the, show yourself to the priest. But on the way, they got healed. One came back and said, no, this man said something and something changed. I'm going back. The remaining nine were just going. When that one got back to Jesus, the Bible says he fell down. You know what that says to me? It means he's not entitled. See, Entitlement is the first destroyer of thanksgiving. Entitlement is what makes people not give thanks. Have you seen people who are entitled? They are the one asking you for something, and they are asking you as if you are owing them. You don't see those kind of people before. Or you do something for someone and the person never tells you thank you. Listen, cultivate the habit. It's not even only God. Even with your brothers, with people. When people do something small for you, no matter how small it is, appreciate it. Even if you won't use it, say thank you. Some people are just so entitled. So entitled. Jesus said that the person who has given more is this widow who doesn't even have anything. Because by every standard, this woman should have actually kept it for herself. You know, God matches what you have with what you give. Because when he does that, the true state of your heart is a reflection of how you give to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the state of your heart. If you want to know where your heart is, go look at your bank statement. Ouch. Yes. Some people's hearts is cars. There are guys who, I love cars, but amen. There are people's hearts, cars. Some people, I don't know why women came to my mind, but some people, it's true now. Abi, is it not true? It's true. I beg, let's talk the truth, amen. Some people's hearts, where their hearts truly, if you see the, you won't send money to your family. You will send money to many girls. Hey. Tinuke has seen your money. Obioma has seen your money. No, let's go to the north. Bilkisu has seen your money. Godia. You just look at your account. Your mom has been asking you for monthly. You have not even responded to her. Or your father. Or your brother in school. But your girlfriends, emphasis. That's where your heart is. And then you, may God deliver us. Lord, I love you with all of my heart. Wait. See, and please, if you know me, I'm not trying to cajole people to just give. I'm not telling you what I don't do. I give you okay, I didn't even plan to say this, but let me say it. Yesterday, you can ask my cousin, I went to the market myself, and I bought 40 shirts to give to people. 40. 40. For men, oh. For guys. 40. That's small, oh. But it's just, and I'm doing it because I love to do it. So I'm not a pastor who is hungry or who is telling you give because I want to reach my pocket. No, we give to church. God blesses us. We give to church. You can ask my wife. We give to church. So I'm telling you what I do. And when I do it, he doesn't fail. So I told myself it would be bad for people not to experience these things. In fact, some of you already know. That's why you are giving. Because God has blessed us, a giving house. Some of you, your heart is in hair. Don't look at anybody. You know how sometimes I preach and some people are in their mind saying, Pastor, talk to them. It's you I'm talking to. Stop that thing. Stop that behavior in church. Praise God. We're not entitled this year. So lift your hands and say, I won't be entitled this year. I will give God praise this year. John 11:41. In extreme situations, The first thing that came out of Jesus' mouth was, Lord, I thank you. Extreme situations. John 11:41. Extreme situation. You know, financial problem is not as bad as when somebody dies. Huh? One doesn't have a job. It's not as bad as when someone dies. In this case, somebody died, and for 4 days, the person was dead. Dead, dead, dead. Then they took away the stone from the place where he was dead, where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. So in extreme situation, Jesus gives us a prototype on what to do when there is a serious problem. That our default response should be, Father, thank you. Not to complain, not to be bitter, not to murmur. You know, I said to you this year, don't blame anybody this year. No, cut that thing. Cut that crap. Don't blame anybody this year. Nobody is your problem. Don't make a human being your problem. It means that person is too powerful that he has become your problem. That you can see somebody and not greet the person. Or you can see someone and have something in mind. You are carrying it. You have beef. My brother, you will fry that beef. Fry that beef. Digest that beef and let it go. Don't make anything or anybody. It might not even be a person. It might be a situation that you are so stuck on it. You can't move on. Move on, my dear. Move on. Jesus tells us what to do. He says, in extreme situations, someone died. And you know, this was Bethany. In Bethany, there was a philosophy or there was an idea that the spirits of the dead will hover around 3 days. Yeah, so if someone dies in Bethany where Jesus raised Lazarus up from the dead, the person's spirit is still up in 3 days. So what Jesus said is, you know what? We'll wait for 4 days. Everything has meaning, though. When the Bible says, and Jesus stayed back, he didn't tell you because the Bible just wants to enjoy mentioning the number of days. Jesus stayed back because he wanted to counter the culture of saying that, listen, if I raise this guy back to life, don't think it's because the spirits are hovering. Wherever you say the spirit has gone, I brought the spirit back. So that's why after 4 days, he went and he said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Hi. The Bible says Lazarus came out, bound head and foot. You see what I'm saying to you? So in extreme cases, yours is not even as extreme as Jesus, but still thank God. Lift your hand, say, I will thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Is it okay to continue from here next week?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. We'll continue from where we stopped next week. Now, the Bible also says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be anxious. I want us to read it together. Let's read it together. Let's read it together. Are you there now? So 1, 2, go. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then verse 7, and the peace of God, that's not all of you. Let's do it again. 1, 2, go. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this year I choose not to be anxious. Oh, hallelujah. I choose not to be anxious. I choose not to worry. I choose not to be in fear. I choose not to worry about what has not yet happened. Because I know when I thank God, it will happen. I choose not to be in anxiety, in depression. No. But I will give God praise this year. Many of you, Satan has messed up your mind using the spirit of anxiety, and he has made it depression. He's made it suicidal. He's made you all kinds of ways just because you are anxious. And a lot of us compare ourselves to others. Don't compare yourself with anybody. You are not anybody. They are not on your journey. You are on a different journey. Follow God the way he's leading you. So be anxious for nothing. we'll lift up our hands, we'll lift up our eyes, we'll lift up our hearts before the Lord, and we will sing of his praise and his goodness towards us. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth, will I know thy faithfulness, oh, thy faith. With my mouth, will I may know thy faithfulness to us. Now, listen to me before we stand up to pray. Some of you will just, I want you to think about some things that are not yet working, and intentionally thank God with those things in mind, because God is set to change your story right now. Because like we said on Friday, you have come into a Kairos moment. Ketapayata. Oh, but how many, can you feel the season of God's help? You can feel the help of God over your head right now. Can you feel it? Oh, I'm asking, can you feel it? You can feel help on your side somehow. You just know this year you're going to be helped by God. You're not going to be left stranded. Oh, we're not alone. See, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, we will boldly say, I will not fear what man will do to me. We will boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. That's our story. We're people who God has helped. We're people who will never just say, God, you don't deserve my praise. No, he does. He deserves our praise. So let's lift our hands and give him praise. I want you to take time. Open your mouth and bless the Lord. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. It's a culture of gratitude. Please, I want you to pray. Your praise is personal to you. Your thanksgiving is personal to you. Lift your voices. Lift your hands if you want. But with whichever way you want to praise, you want to thank, go ahead and glorify God right now. Glorify him, glorify him, glorify him. Glorify him, glorify him.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.